And you know, we've been looking at the New Covenant, and yesterday we were looking at 2 Corinthians chapter 3, where we were speaking that we are made able ministers of the New Covenant, and by that the glory that we have is not similar to the glory that the Old Covenant had. And maybe just we were discussing with someone yesterday, and I realized that we can easily assume that people understand what the Old Covenant was, or rather what is a covenant. Yeah, let me just use a simpler version. Sometimes we study with King James, but then it makes easier to teach with with either easier translation. Yeah, so the New Living Translation. So we are reading from verse 7 that the old way with laws etched in stone led to death, though it began with such a glory that the people of Israel could not bear to look at Moses' face. For his face shone with the glory of God, even though the brightness was already fading away. Shouldn't we expect far greater glory under the new way, now that the Holy Spirit is giving life? Now, when we think of that, we need to ask ourselves, you know, what is the old covenant, and what did it involve? You know, I mean, what did it mean? And when you tell someone, oh, that's old covenant, and basically, what does that mean? So, I mean, the word covenant basically means an agreement. And when you talk of an agreement, that means that it's an agreement between two people coming to a place where the one person says, I will do this, and the other person says, I will also do this. Now, the Israel, I mean, there are various covenants that are mentioned in the Bible. I think you can see there's a covenant of Noah, which Genesis chapter 6, where after God destroyed the earth with a flood, then and Noah came out of the flood, then so if we look at verse 18, okay, from verse 17 it says, okay, maybe from 14, when Noah's verse 11, now God saw that the earth had become corrupt and was filled with violence. God observed all this corruption in the world, for everyone on the earth was corrupt. So God said to Noah, I have decided to destroy all living creatures, for they have filled the earth with violence. Yes, I will wipe them all out along with the earth. Build a large boat from cypress wood and waterproof, with tar inside and out. I mean, the whole description. And then verse 18 says, but I will confirm my covenant with you. So enter the boat, you and your wife and your sons and their wives. Bring a pair of every kind of animal, you know, of male, female, to keep them alive. And be sure, you know, to take all these animals. And the Bible says Noah did exactly as God had commanded him. So after Noah, you know, after the flood came, I mean, everything was destroyed. Then the flood came out, so it's Genesis chapter 8, verse 20. Then the Bible says, then Noah built an altar to the Lord, and there he sacrificed as burnt offerings the animals and the birds that had been approved for that purpose. The Lord was pleased with the aroma of the sacrifice and said to himself, I will never again curse the ground because of the human race, even though everything they think or imagine is bent toward evil from childhood. I will never again destroy all living things. As long as the earth remains, they will always be planting and harvest, cold and heat, summer and winter and day. So God made, like, it's like an agreement between two people. And then in chapter 9 of Genesis, then, You know, he tells, I mean, he confirms his covenant. Verse 8, it says, I hereby confirm my covenant with you and your descendants and with all the animals that were on the boat with you, the birds, the livestock, the animals, and every living creature. Yes, I am confirming my covenant with you. Never again will flood waters kill all living creatures. Never again will a flood destroy the earth. And then verse 12. God says, then I am giving you a sign of my covenant with you and with all living creatures for all generations to come. I have placed my rainbow in the clouds. It is a sign of my covenant with you and with all the earth. When I send clouds over the earth and the rainbow will appear in the clouds, I will remember my covenant with you and with all living creatures. Never again will the flood waters destroy all life. When I see the rainbow in the clouds, I will remember the eternal covenant between God and every living creature on the earth. Then God said to Noah, yes, this rainbow is the sign of the covenant I am confirming with all the creatures on the earth. So one of the things that we see is that after God destroyed the earth, through the first world was destroyed by the floods, and this was because the world was sinful, but Noah found favor with the Lord, and he was a preacher of righteousness. He will preach to people to repent, but people did not repent. I mean, it's just like today, we are preaching to people to repent, we are preaching to people to turn to God, but people are drinking and marrying and not caring, and I mean living their lives as normal. And they don't care about it, and they, I mean, whatever you say, it's up to you. So, but when suddenly the earth was destroyed and the flood came, but Noah and the animals were in the ark, when they came out, God made a covenant. So a covenant is an agreement between two people. Now, in our legal terms, you will call it, you know, like a will or like a testament or a binding document. Like when you buy land, you must have a binding agreement. And once that agreement is signed, once you come out from that court process, it is done. If you sold land without an agreement, you have no basis to defend it. You have no basis to get it back. You have no legal basis. But a covenant is a legal agreement between two parties. Now, the first covenant, as we see, was with Noah. God said, because of what you've done, because of the, you know, the sacrifice that you've made, and I smelt the aroma, I was pleased with it, I will make a covenant. What is this covenant? This covenant means that I, my side, I will never destroy. And what will be the sign? There will be a sign. Whenever you see the rainbow, you shall know that God will stop the destruction. And that's what happens when there are floods, when there are rains. Rains come, but then a rainbow comes. Whenever the rainbow comes, what happens? The rain ceases. Why? Because God remembers his covenant. He says, oh, I'm not supposed to destroy, and I won't destroy all life, not just for human beings alone, even for animals, because animals are also destroyed by floods. Now, yes, it will happen in our time, but it will not be all life. The whole earth will not be destroyed by floods, and this is the covenant that God entered with Noah. So the rainbow, I know a rainbow is nowadays used for many things, but the rainbow is a sign of the covenant of God with man. So a covenant is a binding agreement that God enters with human beings for a certain reason. What we see in the Bible. Now, there are various covenants. There's, and maybe if God helps us, we shall study them. There's a covenant of Noah. There's a covenant of Abraham. God entered into a covenant with Abraham and said, I will bless you. I will make you into a great nation. I mean, all nations on the earth will be blessed through you. And he gave them a sign. What was the sign of the covenant? Circumcision. Abraham and the Israelites were to be circumcised. That was the sign of the covenant. Then God entered into a covenant with the people of the Israelites, Moses, and maybe just to, that's what I was trying to check before, that there are two covenants that were entered with the Israelites. The first one, on Mount Sinai, and then the second one was on which mountain is this? On in Moab, yeah. So that the first one they broke it because Moses came and he found the people were already worshiping the golden calf. So he broke the covenant and he broke the written tablet. That was the agreement. The written agreement, he broke it. And because he found them worshiping the golden calf and he was angry, but then now it was renewed. Now it was renewed in Deuteronomy 28 and 29. And what was the renewal? That's why it said there's blessings and there's curses. Now if you look at the blessings for obedience, it says if you fully obey the Lord your God and carefully keep all his commands that I am giving you today, the Lord your God will set you high above all the nations of the world. You will experience all these blessings if you obey the Lord your God. Your towns and your fields will be blessed. Your children and your crops will be blessed. The offspring of your herds and flocks will be blessed. Your fruit baskets and your bread boards will be blessed. Wherever you go, whatever you do, you will be blessed. The Lord will conquer your enemies when they attack you. They will attack you from one direction. They will scatter from you in seven. The Lord will guarantee a blessing on everything you do, and you will fill your storehouses with grain. The Lord will bless you in the land he's giving you. If you obey the commands of the Lord your God and walk in his ways, the Lord will establish you as his holy people, as he swore he will do. Then all the nations of the world will see that you are a people claimed by the Lord, and they will stand in awe of you. The Lord will give you prosperity in the land he swore to your ancestors, to give you blessings with many children, numerous livestock, and abundant crops. The Lord will send rain at the proper time, and you know all these things. And then what are then the other side was curses for disobedience. But if you refuse to listen to the Lord your God and do not obey all the commands, the decrees I'm giving you, all these curses will come and overwhelm you. Your towns and your fields will be cursed. Your fruit baskets and bread boards will be cursed. Your children and your crops will be cursed. The offspring of your herds and flocks will be cursed. Wherever you go and whatever you do, you will be cursed. The Lord himself will send on you curses, confusions, and frustrations in everything you do until at last you are completely destroyed for doing evil. The Lord will afflict you with the diseases until none of you are left in the land you are about to occupy. The Lord will strike you with wasting diseases, fever, inflammation, all these are cancers, with scorching heat and drought and blight and mildew. The disasters will pursue you until you die. The skies above will be unyielding as bronze. And so it is, in short, you can read the whole chapter. It's the there were blessings for obedience of the covenant with, and there were curses for disobedience. And then if you read verse 29, it says, these are the terms of the covenant the Lord commanded Moses to make with the Israelites when they were in the land of Moab, in addition to the covenant with them he made with them at Mount Sinai. Then if you read verse 9, it says, therefore obey the terms of the covenant so that you will prosper in everything you do. All of you tribal leaders, elders, officers, and all the men are standing today in the presence of the Lord your God, your little ones and your wives and all the foreigners living with you who chop your wood and carry your water. You are standing here today to enter into the covenant of the Lord your God. The Lord is making his covenant, including the curses. By entering into the covenant today, he will establish you as his people and confirm that he is your God, just as he promised you and as he swore to your ancestors, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. But you are not the only ones with whom I am making a covenant with curses. I am making this covenant both with you and who stand here today in the presence of the Lord, and also with the future generations who are not standing here today. So just see how serious the covenant is. God's covenant with the Israelites was that if you obey me, I will bless you. If you keep my covenant, if you keep my law, if you keep the Sabbath, if you respect, I mean, you do not steal, you do not kill, you do not covet your neighbor's property, you don't use the name of the Lord of God in vain, you do not make an idol for your name, for yourself. All those 10 commandments that were given, they were being told, if you obey them, these blessings will overtake you. If you disobey them, these curses will overtake you. And remember, the law was so serious that if you break one law, just one of them, you have broken the whole law. That means you have to go, and they have to go and sacrifice and ask for forgiveness. So it does not mean that it was expected that automatically that no one would have broken the law. But in the covenant, it was clear that when they broke the law, they will go and slaughter an animal, and their sins will be placed in the animal, and then they will offer the sacrifice for forgiveness. So God established a covenant with them. And this is it. And the reasons why the Israelites were sent in exile, they were, you know, punished by God, is because the whole nation forsook the Lord. They worshipped idols, they worshipped Baal, they worshipped all these different gods. And since they forsook God, God handed them over to judgment. But you see, the Bible says fault was found with this old covenant. Why? Because it was human beings saying that they're going to be righteous. The Israelites were saying to God, they are telling God, you know what? We can make it. We can do it. We can do it ourselves. But you see, God knew that they cannot. And that is why I want us to understand what is the difference in the new covenant. And why did God promise a new covenant? And this we can read from Jeremiah 31, verse 31. And maybe if we jump there. Jeremiah 31 verse 31. The Bible says, "The day is coming, says the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the people of Israel and Judah. Now this covenant will not be like the one I made with their ancestors when I took them by the hand and brought them out of the land of Egypt. They broke that covenant, though I loved them as a husband loves his wife. But this is a new covenant that I will make." Okay, maybe just to read. You see, God already is saying that he made a covenant with them, but they broke it. Though he loved them as a husband loves his wife. That means even though they kept failing, he kept restoring them. They broke that covenant. Though God loved them as a husband loves his wife. And then verse 33 says, "But this is the new covenant." That's why we are in a new covenant. We are in a new testament. We are in a new agreement with God. But what does it say? "But this is a covenant that I will make with the people of Israel after those days." What is that covenant? Says the Lord. "I will put my instructions deep within them." If you read King James, it says, "I will write my laws in their hearts." That means the laws are no longer on tablets. The laws are no longer on, you know, on how do you describe it? Like stone tablets. "But I will put my instructions deep within them, and I will write them on their hearts." Look at how God is speaking of the new covenant. So this is the difference between those who are in the old covenant and us. "I will put my instructions deep within them, and I will write on their hearts. I will be their God, and they will be my people. And they will not need to teach their neighbors, nor will they need to teach their relatives, saying, 'You shall know the Lord.' For everyone, from the least to the greatest, will know me already, says the Lord. And I will forgive their wickedness, and I will never again remember their sins." There are some key things that we need to understand of the new covenant. One is that it is new. That means whenever a new agreement comes into place, the old covenant, the old agreement becomes obsolete. That means that you have updated the terms of the covenant. You have updated the agreement. So the new covenant updates, is an upgrade to the old covenant. What does it say? In this time, God puts the instructions. He puts the wisdom. He puts the direction. He puts the commandments inside our hearts. And how does he do that? He does it through the Holy Spirit living in us. That's why we've read that the Spirit, how much more glory do we expect to receive with the glory of God living inside of us? That means God will put his instructions inside us, and he will write them on our hearts. He will write them. That means you will, the Bible says you will, I think it's Jeremiah 6 verse 16 or Isaiah 6 verse 16. It says that you will hear a voice behind you saying, this is the way, go in it. That means that you don't need even for someone to be your prophet. You don't need for someone to tell you, oh, this is what you need to do. No, the Holy Spirit within you will speak to you directly and tell you, this is the way you're supposed to go, walk in it. This is the way you're supposed to go, walk in it. And why? That's what we were talking about yesterday. The veil is removed in Christ. The things that blind us, the things that prevent us from knowing the direction, knowing what God expects to us, knowing what desire God desires of us, those things are taken away and God gives us instructions. Now, instructions are for even the minutest of things. It can even be just cleaning your house. It can even be just the way you dress. It can even be just the way you take care of your family. It can even be the way you speak to your children, the way you speak to your husband. There are instructions. Now, anyone who is sensitive to the Holy Spirit, who is obedient to the Holy Spirit, will be guided in the way that the Holy Spirit wants. That means there is a place for instructions. And this is what I mentioned yesterday in Acts chapter 1. When Jesus Christ ascended, the Bible says when he gave commandments to his disciples through the Holy Spirit. That means we are in the time of commands and instructions from the Holy Spirit. We are to be sensitive to hear his voice. Now, one thing that you know about the voice of God will never contradict the written scriptures of God. You must know the word of God, because it is from the word of God that you determine the wisdom that the voice that you've heard is of God. Why? Because nowadays there are many spirits, there are familiar spirits, there are demons that speak to people, and people think that it is God speaking to them. Now, if you come and say that God has spoken to you for you to leave your husband, then that tells me that that is not the voice of the Holy Spirit. Why? Because God hates divorce. The Bible is very clear, do not divorce. God hates divorce. So now if you're going to divorce, then that instruction is not from the Holy Spirit. So it is the word of God that helps us to weigh the instructions that come from the Holy Spirit. And every time, it is even better to tell God, give me a scripture. And for sure, there is no scripture that he can, there is nothing about life. The Bible says he has given us all that we need for life and godliness. That means everything that you need for life, there is an instruction that the Holy Spirit has for you, even in the scriptures. The Bible says you will need no one to teach your neighbor, to tell them, know the Lord. Why? Because once you come into Christ, then the anointing of Christ, the Spirit of Christ within you, we have an unction from on high that teaches us all things, that we understand all things, that we know all things. That means you know. Your spirit man within you knows. Your physical man might not know it, but your spirit man knows your next step. Your spirit, the Holy Spirit within you, already knows your next job. He already knows your future. He already knows where you're going. You know all things. We have an unction from on high that you know. So it's a matter of you communing with God. And the Bible says the heart of a man are deep waters, but a man of understanding draws them out. When you stay with understanding, when you stay with the spirit of wisdom and understanding, spirit of wisdom and revelation, he draws out what you need for your next step, what you need for tomorrow. And most importantly, which I love, is, and I will forgive their wickedness, and I will never again remember their sins. When God deals with us, when we come to Christ, we are forgiven. And the Bible says that he never remembers again our sins. The challenge with us is that we believe that God remembers. And that's why the devil is called the accuser of brethren. He has to remind us, do you think God has forgiven you? Do you think God has forgiven you? No. You did this, but in the new covenant, sin, the power of sin is broken. The power of sin is broken. God breaks the power of sin. And anyway, I think we'll deal with that another time. But I just want us to focus on that. Just think of this, that in the new covenant, God himself has said, I myself am saying, I will put my instructions in you. I will guide you. I will write my law in your hearts. You will know me. And on top of that, I will forgive you. And I will never again remember your sins. In Christ, you are forgiven. In Christ, you are forgiven. I'll stop there for now and allow any questions, and by the grace of God, we shall be able to continue when God allows us. Welcome, my sister.
Amen. Thank you so much. I don't have a question.
Okay.
Amen.
Okay. We thank God. Okay. Let us pray. Heavenly Father and Lord, we thank you for your word. Thank you that indeed in this moment you're reminding us of your grace. You're reminding us of your of the covenant that you've established with us, that we are not in that old covenant where it depended on our human effort, it depended on our ability to fulfill the covenant, but you fulfill the covenant on our behalf through sending your son, Jesus Christ, who is a fulfillment of the law, who was a perfect sacrifice, who knew no sin, he committed no sin, that he might be the lamb that takes away the sins of the world. And Father, I thank you for my brother, my sister that is listening, that desires to enter into that new covenant, the new covenant in which sins are forgiven, in which our wickedness is forgiven and our sins are remembered no more, in which we receive the strength to fulfill the righteous demands of God, that indeed it is fulfilled in Christ. And in Christ we are forgiven, in Christ we are loved, in Christ we receive the instructions from the Holy Spirit, in Christ we are taught how to live this Christian life, how to walk in grace, in mercy, in forgiveness. Thank you that we have an unction from on high, that we know all things, and I pray for wisdom to come at this time. And if you're there and you need to know the Lord, it's simple, just ask him to fill you, ask him to forgive you, ask him to give you the Holy Spirit, and the answer is that he does it. And indeed, God is able to. Even as you do our work, that you go ahead of us, protect us for the various services all over the world, the Lord, they shall receive of you and be blessed by you. In Jesus' mighty name we pray and believe. Amen.
Amen. Amen.